Welcome to Old Trafford, Niger Branch.
Home of sly tackles, red cards, yellow cards, and 93rd minute screamers from outside the box.
Home to sure 3 points, trebles, and all Niger Red Devils around the world.
We are defenders, the vex, and strikers, I date here.
So, adjust your shin guard, tie your boots, and increase your volume small.
Ready?
Now let the match day begin.
Hi guys, and welcome back to another exciting episode of the Red to the Bones podcast, where we analyze and finalize agendas. Today, I have two exciting young men with me, in the person of Dada and Demola. My name is Priye, and I'm your host for today's episode. First of all, Dada, how are you doing?
I don't know how to put this here, but I feel like I'm excited to be here, and I'm happy about today's game. Actually,
I'm excited that you're happy. We're going to delve right into that. Demola, how are you doing?
I don't even know how to put it, because at the end of the day, I think, you know, we've gotten to this part of the season that, you know, everything just, I think at the end of the day, I just think it's just, you know, part of the, I don't know how to put it. I'm lost for words. But yeah, I think I'm good, sir. I'm good.
Now, man, they make you the lost for words. No problem.
That's what the club is doing to me right now.
Okay, let's have Caleb. Welcome. Thank you for coming in.
Yeah, I'm doing very well. Thanks for having me.
All right. So we're just about to set... I mean, we already set the tone. We're just about to delve into the topics for today. First of all... in case you are listening to this podcast, we are just recording this after Man U has played Brighton at home and they've lost by 3-1. Let me first ask, what are the positives? I think this should not take too much time because I barely see any positives. But if you guys have any positives, what could you say would be the positives from today's game? So let's start with Caleb.
For me, right? I think the most obvious positive was that we try to play well, right? We played with some sort of intensity at the beginning of the match, which even though it kind of faded away after Brighton scored their first goal, but towards the end of the first half, we still had the energy to play, right? And try to create more chances and force some errors from Brighton. So yeah, I think the most notable thing was that we played with some sort of energy and intensity, which has been lacking in our previous game, right? And I think, like you said, there were very few positives. And also, I can point out that Dalo, he had a good game today. he had a good game against Maitoma. I'm sure everyone was thinking that Maitoma was going to have him on the road, right?
Positive. Don't know if you're telling me to sideline players. What if you want positives you saw today? Stop giving us particular players.
Sorry, they were like,
yeah, but you still part of the positives, right?
I'm familiar with your game. No worries. We can go on.
Yeah, so yeah, those are just the two positives for me.
So, Demola, what would you say would be the positive you can take away from the game, if any?
Well, I think Caleb actually said everything now. So I think the only thing I saw today that was just different, so just intensity and the energy started with, which I know it was because, you know, Man United, it started like that. It started with that sort of energy. Within 20 to 30 minutes, the energy is down already. So I think that is just the energy and intensity that, I can say that, yes. They were just all about different. And yeah, they had some chances, but at the end of the day, that was my source today.
Dada, do you have any comments?
They've actually said everything, but I'm going to point out the fact that Reguilon had a good game to me.
Yeah, because, I was going to mention that.
Yeah, coming in to play your first game at Old Trafford against Brighton, that we know is like this good, and putting in that kind of performance is like, for me, was a positive. But they've said everything that has to be said.
I have to agree. I would have said, when you lose a game like this. Okay, sorry. Were you saying something?
Yeah, I was like, let's not forget some Oilon, right? He also had a very good game, even though he didn't get the division that he deserved.
Who is that?
Oilon.
Okay.
Yeah.
The Oilon play is fantastic, man.
He had a very good game. Yeah, he just didn't get his goal.
I will wait and see. I will not comment on Haaland yet. I will not comment yet. But I would have to say that Reguilón had a very good game. Even towards the end of the match, when we had considered either the second or the third goal, he was still giving those bursts of energy. He was still trying to create. He was still pushing. And then for Dalot, people don't rate him as much, but I kind of do. And we saw Dalot play left back when Shaw was injured, and he didn't disappoint. I mean, we didn't win any of the games, I think. I mean, we lost to Arsenal, but he played very well at left back. He's done fantastic against Mitoma today. So shout out to Dalot for keeping consistency. You feel me? For keeping consistency.
He doesn't get the flowers that he deserves at all. At right back, he's solid. At left back, he's solid. I don't know what else a player needs to prove that he hasn't proved yet.
I mean, give the boy his flowers. Also, for that right back position, Wan-Bissaka has not been bad at all. So I think we have two very solid right backs, in my opinion. So if Dalot is not playing right back and Wan-Bissaka is playing, I can't complain, to be very honest. Yeah. It's just that for me, being biased towards Dalot, I would want him to play more. But if Wan-Bissaka is playing, I don't think I'll have any issues. Second thing, is it just me or Casemiro was a bit sloppy today? And has he been sloppy since the beginning?
He has been that way since this season.
So he's been sloppy from the beginning of the season.
Always sleeping, man. When you're in transition, you should know that, yes, you should know the certain kind of team you're playing. He'll give you a pass. This guy will still be trying to be sharp. They will give you a pass. First thing is looking around. Before the pass gets to you, you have to know where and where your opponents are. As in, you'll give my guy a ball. Before you know it, his pocket's already picked.
Yeah.
That is every fucking time. Every fucking time. It's not just one time pass or anything. Casemiro is not interested. I think it'll be all right.
He said he's not interested. Is it possible that maybe his old age has caught up with him?
To be honest, I think some of the things I'm seeing are things that we saw at Madrid. I don't think it's just about old age. That's just about his age, man. You're not all this kind of... You know, in Madrid, it wasn't the one that, they're just busy, Kroos and what's it called, and Modric. He may just do the dirty work, get the ball to them. But in my year, nobody wants to hold that boy in midfield. So it's just different, man. And
so it's our system that is not good for him, not that he's bad.
He will easily get exposed in our midfield, in our system. Very easy.
What can be done?
Well, it's been good for us, it's been good for us.
If the situation that is making Casemiro look bad is our system, what can be done?
Well, me, I feel personally with the signing of Amrabat coming into the midfield, like Amrabat still has like this progressive carry more than Casemiro. So I think if he comes into the team when he's fully fit, we might be able to see a little bit of stability from Casemiro, because we won't have to be hitting this one-time pass or something like that. Because against Arsenal, if we notice, Eriksen was our midfielder that was coming, that was like deepest to receive the ball from the defense, from the back line, trying to build up and stuff. But it was not like that today. Eriksen was like pushed further up to join the attack and stuff like that. But against Arsenal, we saw Eriksen in more of the build up than Casemiro. So definitely, we now that it is obvious that, okay, Casemiro is not the type of DM that can start the build up play from the defense and stuff like that. We should just find a way to make sure we don't put him in that position in important matches. Because if you're playing against a team that can press very well, like Brighton did today, we would always see this sloppiness from Casemiro.
Okay. I have one question. I have plenty of questions, but if we have our complete team, who would be your midfield setup? And I need all three of you to answer. Who would be your midfield? Like McTominay, Eriksen, Mason Mount, Amrabat, Fernandez.
I think mine would be, Amrabat sitting together with Casemiro, then Bruno in the middle. Bruno has 10. Then you can feed in maybe Antonio or Pelestri, Rashford on the left, or Garnacho. Then all on the front. But midfield of Bruno, Amrabat and Casemiro,
What position is Amrabat? Is he a DM or is he a central midfielder?
He's a DM. Or...
So you want to play with two DMs?
Come on, that's the issue. Yeah. You have to play with two DMs. So it's just a pass through. It's just a pass through, anyhow. You need guys that can. That was, I think that was what this guy was doing for Fred. You need guys that can match very well in that midfield. If not, they're just a pass through. Like, there's nothing there.
Dada, how about you?
And again, I'm about to move out to hold the ball. You know, he's a ball carrier too. So I think I can just do a job of the DM and what's it called? And I think it. Yeah, I think it.
I've not seen too much of Amrabat to have an opinion on him. And I'm trying to be neutral because I'm the host. On a normal day, there are certain things I will be saying. But let it not be as if I'm an up. I say, okay, let me be. So that again, you see, I say I don't have any opinion on Hoyland. Now, I don't have opinion on Amrabat because I've not seen them play and I don't want to let my bias to shine. But thank you for that beautiful commentary. Dada, who would be your midfield setup if we have all our midfielders fully fit?
Casemiro, Amrabat, Bruno. Because basically, if we are looking at our midfield, we know that we can't leave Casemiro alone to do the dirty job. We don't have the legs in our midfield right about now. Defensively, we do not have the legs. So definitely bringing in Amrabat that is also as good as Casemiro defense and good on the ball. I feel like that's a plus to our midfield because we'll be winning balls and we'll be able to like hold back possession rather than just win ball, then try to play a quick pass, launch balls forward and stuff like that. Because that way, it won't be just like against Wolves when we saw Wolves penetrating through our midfield and stuff. It was like very, very, very crazy because Bruno and Mount, defensively, they are not that it's like that. But if you are bringing in Amrabat is going to offer a defensive coverage and a little bit of technicality on the ball.
So, Kenneth, let's hear from you, your midfield three and one.
Normally, right, I would go with Casemiro, Amrabat, and Bruno. And that's because we all know that we can't bench Casemiro as per top player and all that, right? But if I were to be the one picking the lineup, I would go with Amrabat, Eriksen, and Bruno. I would do that because we know that Amrabat can basically do what Casemiro is doing. That's screening the back four. He has the passing to go with it. He has the courage to go with it to progress our ball, right? So he can progress from the defense to the midfield, either with his passes or with his carries, right? Which Casemiro isn't great at. And he can also screen the back four. So if one DM can do that, why are we going for two? You understand? So I would think going with Amrabat and Eriksen, also Bruno. It gives Eriksen and Bruno the space to flourish. I mean, offensively, right? Trying to distribute the ball forward and all of that. So yeah,
I have a question.
On the bench.
Eriksen is primarily a number 10, isn't he? At least for the most part of his career with Spurs and in Italy. He played as a number 10. If you're pairing him with Amrabat, you're putting him as a central midfielder, which requires him to do more work, in my opinion. I could be wrong. Does that? And you know he has only one left ventricle. How is he supposed to play with impact as a central midfielder? Yeah.
So if I'm going to be playing Eriksen, right, he's going to be playing as a number 8, right? So, you know, when he left Spurs and after his incident at the World Cup, he went to Inter, his role was changed. He was playing a deeper role.
Right? Okay.
So, along the line, he has become accustomed to that role, right? So in playing there, he won't be so much burden with the defensive burdens, right? That would be on Amrabat. So that would mean that if I play with Amrabat, Eriksen, and Bruno, Eriksen basically focusing on how we get the ball up the pitch and just leaving Amrabat to do the progressing from the back towards the midfield. But so yeah, I don't think I'll be placing so much burden on Eriksen running up and down, right? So I think if you do that, Eriksen would perform optimally.
I'm sorry. I'm asking more questions because your setup is quite different. Now, hear me out. With Amrabat and Casemiro, we have a better defensive coverage because they are both, or they can both play the DM role, and then we know Amrabat can carry the ball or whatever. But he has a solid defensive acumen, according to reports. With our current defense, how many goals have we conceded this season already? I think in the last two or three games, we've conceded more than two goals. If I don't recall now. So we don't have a very solid defense at the moment. How then are you putting Eriksen and Amrabat, knowing that only Amrabat will have to do defensive coverage?
But you know that the reason of our defensive frailties is because of our midfield being too open, right? And it being so sloppy. So if we have Amrabat, who is ball secure, right? And we have Eriksen, who is also known to be quite good in retaining possession, right? So that means we'll have more of the ball, and which leads to less pressure on our defense, which would also automatically lead to less goals if we're keeping the ball right.
Fair enough. In all of this, nobody has mentioned Mason Mount. How far now?
I have something to say, though, about Caleb Stressor, Richard Alt.
Please.
So, yeah, he said he's going to have Eriksen and Amrabat, then Bruno. All my feel is why I won't go with that line, that midfield pairing is because we know our wingers. Basically, we know Anthony is our winger with the best defensive contribution. Now he's not in the squad. We know Rashford really tracks back. So basically, if we are having Eriksen in the midfield and we have the likes of Rashford, probably maybe Sancho or any other person that doesn't really track back and support the fullbacks, you're going to still be having the same issues because our midfield is going to be exposed when we attack. If they hit us on the counter, we're going to be having only Amrabat left behind. So that like leaves the same opening that we complained about against Wolves and definitely against Spurs. Because if you're looking at it, if you have Amrabat and Casemiro staying, like not really staying back, but in the midfield while your fullbacks are attacking, even when your wingers don't really like support the defense, at least you still have numbers in your defense. You have that defensive coverage. You have people with the defensive ability to cover in this position or whatsoever. We bringing in Eriksen, we are short of legs. Fine. It brings in more control and creating chances rather. But then we know how bad we are defensively when we have been hit on the counter, like it happened today. It happened against Arsenal when Martinelli was progressing with the ball. Everybody just ran into the box. They didn't pick the run of Odegaard. Same thing happened with Welbeck today. So definitely we need to have people with these defensive abilities that can be in this position, have this coverage, so as not to be having the same issues game by game. Because it's almost becoming like a setup, a particular setup. Okay, just hit money on the counter. They don't know how to defend. They'll just run back to try to protect the box. There's a cutback and it's a goal. It happened against Arsenal, happened today as well. So that's why I feel like going with Eriksen and Amrabat is still going to leave Amrabat in the same situation as Casemiro.
Yeah, I'd like to add to that. Just use Newcastle as an example. See the midfield of Joelinton, Bruno, what's his name, Gumaresh, who's the other guy? And they have to run in now. You see those three midfielders, you don't need your wingers to even track back for them. Those guys on their own, all of them can play as a DM, as a team, and they can all create. If that was the kind of midfield we have in mind, we don't even need our, what's it called, our wingers to be tracking back. Because those guys, they can run from 1st minute to 90 minutes and they will not be tired. So I feel like what Dada is saying is actually very, you know, very correct. You cannot have what's the name, Eriksen and Amrabat in that midfield. It's still going to be the same thing, same outcome. You just have to use both Amrabat and what's the name, and Casemiro for now. Until we find midfielders that can, you know, that have that energy and that
confidence. Okay, so you people in all of this, nobody has mentioned Mason Mount, and they also have
that guy is just easy backup. He's not meant for us to be starting.
For 60 million,
Yes, the backup. You will not be the first to buy a backup for 60 million. You will not be the first, and you will not be the last. That guy in army field is still the same thing. What's he doing exactly? Just, you know.
I know that basically to me. Okay, can I talk?
Yes.
Okay, yes. I feel like basically, Mount signing should not be on Mount. It should be on EPH. This is Erik ten Hag's signing. Erik ten Hag had an idea of playing with a double eight. That is Bruno and Mount. Now, basically, we've seen it in two games and we've seen how it has gone down. It has not worked at all. So, when Mount is fit and you want to bring him back into the team, this signing should never have happened in the first place because...
Never.
It should never have happened because you don't have a DM that can play solely. You don't have the players that can offer this coverage with this double eight that you are trying to play. You don't have the players that can play this type of system. But you are recruiting players that you feel like, okay. There was something they said on the group the other day about Mount saying he feels like his best position is an 8 or something. As a coach, if you hear stuff like that, you see them train, you practice this thing. It happened in the first game against Wolves, a team not as not technically good like Spurs. You still went ahead to try the same formation again, a way to Spurs. And we saw how he backfired. So I feel like basically, Mount should not have been a signing we should have gone for. 60 million, right about now, Mount is going to come back into the team to be a backup. And that's another waste of money from ETH. Because why would you sign a 60 million midfielder that can't fit in, that can't work with the system you're trying to put out?
But can I say something, right?
Okay.
Now, the priorities of the midfield, the fitness of the midfield, is it down to Mount or is it down to Casemiro? Because we are talking of defensive covers, having defensive covers from our midfield.
Yeah.
When in the Madrid setup, right? When Casemiro was in that setup, Cruz was not like he didn't have that defensive capability, if we are to be honest. And Casemiro was doing very well, right? If you're saying that we need a defensive cover right now to help Casemiro, then there's a problem.
No, what we are trying to say is, if we look at Madrid's team and our team, there's a huge difference in terms of abilities and whatsoever. Cruz in our midfield was not advancing so much. Madrid were a team, Casemiro in that team, and Madrid as a whole, they were better. They're like, I don't know how to put it, but in terms of.
I think what you're trying to say is they defend together, man. That's what I think you're trying
exactly,
to
say. Exactly, they defend together. As a unit. They defend team. As a unit.
It's not just, you know.
It's just not just impact. One person's exactly. Work to defend.
They all defend together.
And if we look at it now, we are very, very bad at pressing. We don't press so well. A particular person is pressing so well, the other person is not pressing so well. All these lapses and gaps, they were not really happening in Madrid. Cruz was working his socks off. Every person in the attack, even Cristiano at times, was joining to try to win the ball back. So basically, if you're having these lapses about, like, you're not doing your job, it's going to tell on other positions. So basically, in terms of ability and the team, that Casemiro was in, there's a huge difference. A very, very huge difference. Look at Carvajal's work rate going front and back. When Marcelo was here, fine, it was not really that good in terms of defensively, exactly. But then,
you don't know.
Cruz, you will not know first. Because there's somebody like trying to block that part, not making it true in the game. Cruz was not really advancing in the game.
Yeah.
Cruz was sitting a little bit while Modric was the one advancing. So basically, there was like coverage in every aspect of how they play. They were not open. Like we are like opening ourselves up to our opponents. We attack and everybody tracking back. We basically do not know what position we are supposed to be in. Okay, we know that this person can't. He's not really good defensively or something like that. There's no coverage anywhere. They're just like opened up and everybody's having access to our midfield. It has been happening since the very first game against Wolves. We were just very, very lucky to win that match. If Wolves took their chances, they have lost that game like close to 3-4-0. So basically, the system Ten Hag is trying to put out is still the issue. We don't have the players to play this kind of system. So basically, just go for the safest option of playing with Amrabat and Casemiro.
I have an opinion. Don't drag me. Might make sense. It might not make sense. I believe that if you score more goals than you concede, you will win the game. Hear me out. If we field a more attacking system, now we are dunking on our midfield, not being able to provide defensive coverage. But if our attackers are scoring at the opportunities that we are getting, chances are we may concede, but we may not lose. The issue now is that we are losing the games. So if we score 3 goals and concede 2, we'll take the 3 points. But because our attackers are shit. And so even the little chances that we are creating, we are not converting. And then we now concede because we don't have a very solid defensive lineup, both at the back and in the midfield. So I strongly think that even if we have problems in the defense, we need to also consider that we have major problems with the attack because we are not converting chances, or maybe we are not even creating enough chances. That's what I think.
Yeah, you're right, Sam.
More goals, the conceded goals may not be so much of an issue. So, in as much as we are dunking on our defense and Amrabat, Casemiro, if we field in Mount and Eriksen and whatever the case may be, we might create more chances, we might score more goals than we concede, and that would count for something. I mean, that's just my own on this on this issue, Sha. Yeah. But let's go to another topic. Tactics. Right. And we've also touched based on tactics now. But what I have noticed is, but I'm trying not to be so biased, but what we play basically is Fernandez long ball to Rashford, and Rashford takes it into the corner. What exactly is Ten Hag doing?
Fast transition. that's what it's called.
No, because we've seen this over and over again. I don't know what style of football that we play. And some people have said we're not playing anything different from what Ole was doing. Right? Yeah. So we give the ball to it's either what's it called? Today I saw it from Fernandez and Lindelof. First of all, Lindelof has a good long pass range. From that defensive, he will lob it to Rashford. But that's basically what we are playing. Long ball to Rashford, and Rashford should use his speed to beat the defense and throw the ball away. Can we not do something better?
No, the thing is, the midfield of Brighton, not even Brighton, we've had it difficult over the past few matches to play through the midfield. Playing through the midfield is our problem. Playing through centrally is also the problem. So now the only option we have when teams use a mid block for us is to play over the midfield, right? Play over the midfield, play it long to the field, play it over the defense, right? So now that's like it's not what we want to play, right? But it's what the opponents are making us play. You get so we are actually playing into their hands. Sometimes it may work, sometimes it may not work. But playing the long ball to Rashford, sometimes you can't say that it doesn't reap its dividends, right? But most times than not, teams will figure it out and they will neutralize it.
I think they've already neutralized it because once you hold Rashford,
I think
there's nothing else now.
I think the problem we have with this Rashford return, you see. You don't even see that as a problem that they're just passing, they're just going through, they're just giving Rashford long ball. Look at Madrid, all their attack, almost every time, they go through this guy, Vinicius. The reason why people not complain about, that style of play, you just go through Vinicius, because once they give you the ball, they know that, yes, that attack now, you're not likely to go. Rashford on your hands, give that guy the ball, boom, 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 boom. You try and pass through 3 players, try and, disobey traffic. How is that possible?
He said disobey traffic.
That's really the issue I think we have with that guy. Because at the end of the day, it was a situation whereby they give Rashford the ball, he tries to do something with the ball. And no problem now. Look at Napoli as well. That guy. They almost go through his wing now. And again, I think our other wingers, they're not even trying to support him. look at Anthony, you know, try to carry ball forward. Next thing is turning backward or trying to drive one trick or the other. Sancho, on the other hand, same thing. And Kayan too, he has to be blamed. Because at the end of the day, I think he still has to give all these young boys chance to play.
So it's not a function of bad tactics. It's that Rashford is bad.
Yeah, I think he's just bad. And ahead of the day, Kayan too is at fault. Because I don't know why he's always trying to play Villa out of position. I don't know why. Why are you trying to play Bruno on the wing? Play your best players at their best positions. You see the results. Why are you trying to play Bruno on the wing? Why? Why exactly is that? You have like two options on one particular position, like two players, one particular position on the bench, but you still decide to just play one player out of the position or something. It doesn't make any sense. If you continue like that, I don't know, man. These are not.
But I don't think it's right for that it's bad, though. I don't think it's right for that it's bad.
But I mean, I don't think that it's bad too. At the end of the day, it's not just him that is bad. He's bad actually. It's a nuisance. At the end of the day, he's always wasting our ball. Almost all our attacks today went through him. What did you do with it?
But when he gets it right, it's because he's the goal threat normally. He's a goal threat. Either with assist or with his scoring, he's a goal threat. So that's why you go through Rashford most times than not.
What's the success rate?
No, I don't think that's why it goes through him. I think that's really why it goes through him, because they know the other ones are just useless. Him is still like the best among mates. Do you understand? The best among mates. That's just the way it is. It's better than the other way they did it. That's just the way I see. Because Anthony, now if you Anthony the ball at the end of the day, out to just try and cross one more sense for Sancho. I don't even know what to say about that one. So you know what you're just feeling it is. That's why like you see the best winger we have in the team. That's why the boy is going through him. If you have a better winger now that we know that he's very explosive, ready to, you know, take one or two players. He'll be going through that wing soon, man. He may just be going through that left wing.
But let me say something. And we may transition into the next agenda for today. Anthony, before he came to Manchester United, was he not doing well? Sancho, before he came to Manchester United, he was doing well. He was arguably top 10 or top 5 wingers when he was playing for Dortmund. I mean, he had the numbers. I saw a stat recently. He had double figures in goals and assists for the last 3 seasons before he came to Man U. All of a sudden, he's not able to deliver in Man U. So what essentially is going on? I know that Sancho is a good player. He has proven himself in Germany. But why can't we get him to play well here? Anthony did not exactly have the numbers. But, I mean, we saw highlights now. But even now, from his recent game, we cannot even get clips of highlights. So is it the club? Is it the manager? Is it what could have been wrong? Or what essentially is wrong that we cannot see what we saw that made us to buy them?
I think it's only if you go carry our athlete to Shiloh and your pastor should pray for us. That's the only thing you can find the solution to all of this. Because you cannot just point out this actual problem. Because there are a lot of problems. You cannot point out to one thing that is the problem. A lot of problems. The players, the manager, the club, everybody just a crazy. It's the whole club. You cannot just point out to one thing in particular.
I have a lot to say about this whole players coming into the team and not performing the way they did. First of all, about the last question you asked about tactics. I feel like we brought in Onana to be able to play out from the back. So, most of the teams we've played this season, they've noticed that, okay, we are trying to play out from the back. Let us block the passing options of Onana, hence forcing us to play a long ball down to Rashford. That is the first issue we have, because if you look at today's game, they were not actually pressing Onana a lot of times. It was his passing options. And whenever I manage to get the pass right, we have to play a long ball because there are still no passing options for the person on the ball or Onana himself. So I mean, basically, we have youngsters that are on the bench. We've seen glimpses from them. We've seen Pelis to play. We've seen Ghana to play. Give these boys a chance to play. Rashford today should have taking off
now, like 50th
minute. 50th minute. Hey,
he played like 90, exactly. We saw Pelistri and Garnacho warming up to like 75th minute or thereabout. Okay, you made your first two substitutions. You brought in Medjugorje. Okay, fine. That was a good sub. Medjugorje came in with energy, trying to carry the ball, progressive carries, trying to mark a lot of energy. You brought in Marshall and took out
Hoyland. Like Marshall for what?
I don't understand.
As in, you took out.
You could have just gone back to a typical 4-3-3 formation. We could have just gone back to that, worried them from both wings, actually. But you stuck with the same formation and brought in Marshall that couldn't even offer quarter of what Hoyland did in the first half and throughout the game, rather. I mean, we saw him battling with Dunk. Dunk was not really comfortable with the duels they had. He was winning these duels at some point. Dunk won some. But Hoyland was still like offering a lot to the team than Marshall did. Marshall came in and it was almost like there was no difference. Like, we didn't make a substitution. It took the wonder goal from Medjugorje to even at least be able to score in the game. We went off after those two substitutions. You saw that, okay, this substitution that you've done, these two substitutions, they've not yielded anything so far. You still left Pelistri and Garnacho warming up to the 75th minute. Meanwhile, a whole lot that Rashford did in this game that has to be noticed. We crucify Sancho a lot for, okay, he doesn't track back, he doesn't mark, he doesn't put in it. Sancho did all that today. Hoyland will press from the right-hand side, press the goalkeeper. There will be a pass to Van Hecke, the second defender of Brighton. I would expect Rashford to do the same thing. Press him. Let them try to play this ball long or do something. Let them make a mistake. Rashford will just accompany you. I don't know how to put it. Be your bodyguard. Just run behind you. No energy, no whatever. They pass the ball and Rashford starts walking back again. That was basically what Rashford was doing today. He don't come up from my side, no be my work again. At least I don't pursue him. That was basically what Rashford was doing today. Attacking.
But what do you expect Rashford to do? The coach said he should be in areas where he can affect the game offensively, in the attacking areas. If that is part of the coach's instructions to him, that he should track back, help his defenders, right?
I'm not saying to track back.
Yes, man.
That pressing from the front, that energy Rashford that Hoyland was giving. Rashford the drug. Rashford the waka.
Tracking as in pressing from the front, like from the opponent's
pressing
box.
From the front.
Rashford,
Rashford.
When you're
was...
pressing, you're not just as if you just want to run at someone. Try and aim for the ball. Try and get the ball.
Exactly.
No.
Not just run behind. I don't understand. No.
That's why we have Hoyland there, right? Hoyland is the pressing forward. Hoyland presses, wins the ball, passes to Rashford, right?
ETH is he does not know what he's doing, because how can you have just one person pressing?
Yes,
we have to press as a unit.
Yes, yes. Is that what you are talking
that
about?
That is basically what other teams do. We have to press as a unit. We can't just have one person chasing the whole back four and the goalkeeper, while others are just like, okay, keep pressing.
There will be space now. There will be lapses.
If Hoyland is pressing,
and you get tired.
If Hoyland is pressing the two CBs, Rashford should be pressing the right back.
Yes, now Rashford was positioned on Veltman and Van Eyck's position, right? He was between those two passing lines. So that was where he was. He was blocking that passing lane there. That's why Steele was giving the long ball to the right back, or to the right wing. That's to Adringa, right? He was not, you know, they didn't really pass. Or was it from the back, right? Like
they did, Caleb, because I calmed down to watch that game, especially Rashford, because me, I was all about agenda today. I knew we were going to lose. Immediately I saw it was a 4-4-2 diamond. I calmed down and watched the game. A lot of times that Hoyland was like pressing, running at Steele. Steele will play a pass to Van Hecke. We were expecting the same thing from Rashford, but Rashford was not offering that same energy. I'm not saying to go at everybody or anything. Just do that same energy with Van Hecke. That's just what we are just asking for. Rashford was really, really like his energy. There was a time they passed to him and he was just waiting for the ball. Welbeck that was playing nine was the one that collected that ball from him. Rashford was, I don't know, maybe he just wanted to attack. He just wanted to shoot as per American gangster. Because me, I don't understand waiting Rashford actually plan to do today. A whole lot of times that Rashford, okay, you beat the first man, you beat the second man.
Our most dangerous player today, if you are being honest.
Yes, he was our most dangerous. But then, decision making, this is where it comes in as well. Rashford will take on. You will see this clear pass. Rashford pass this ball. Yes, you want to face him between three players. Why? Football don't
very clear pass this ball. I don't know. Maybe we're just trying to be a hero today. I don't get it.
Hero ball. Pass this ball.
Hero ball. He know they pay.
He know they pay. Because no, basically, we had times that he could have passed to Regulon and open up his space to receive the pass back.
Yes.
But Rashford wanted to face him into three players.
From the beginning of the match. Made the beginning of the match.
Exactly. Nah. A whole lot of times that he was not shooting the ball. Pass. There was the first time he crossed the ball into the box was when Oyelowo nearly collected with that ball. If you have like three of those chances coming in into the game, not that you have to take on that defender and try to beat him or something, cross this ball into the box. At least one, it will connect. And when it did, we had a goal, but it was disallowed. That's just basically what we are asking for. Decision making, right decisions at the right time. We are not, Rashford is like our best forward. We can't lie about that.
Sometimes at least we have like two Rashford in that.
Do you want that
doesn't like decision making. If that's all we have, decision making is what's wrong with Rashford right now. Decision making. That's the reason.
Exactly.
You just want to be something that, point to the head.
This is
you guys need to accept the fact that you can't have everything in Rashford. He's a goal scorer.
That's what I'm saying. That I wish we have another one.
We had Rashford.
Because I'm tired of dragging that guy.
Double numbers in assists from, I think, season 2020-2021. Rashford was creating.
Yeah, that was when he was not just scoring. That was when he was not the face of the project. That was when he was not the main man of the attack.
So now that he's the main man of the attack, why is it a problem to still do the same thing?
Why is he even the main man of the attack? He's
the main man of the attack. When every other person is either they are beating women or dodging, because I don't understand. I don't understand what's wrong with the club.
People look to him to take some time for him to adjust playing with Oyelowo and looking to Oyelowo to supply the goals, right? But for now, people are looking to Rashford to get the ball into the back of the net.
But
so yes,
from
when
the wing that he's coming from, his primary aim should, in my opinion, his primary aim should not be to score. Coming from that left wing, his primary aim should not be to score, should be to find who is open and available. I mean, if the opportunity shows itself, if it is impossible to pass, I can understand you try to make a dribble or something, but Rashford does not try to make a dribble when it is not possible to pass. He makes a dribble every time. He tries to break through all the defenders every time, and that's a problem. That's the decision making that we are talking about. So if he's trying to create for other people more, I feel like we'll be in a better place. It's not been complained from the beginning of the season. He's got opportunities to pass the ball. He chose to shoot or he chose to dribble. So I don't know.
I can't defend that. Decision making is questionable, right? But I would say this. Rashford is a goal scoring winger. He's not a playmaker that plays on the wings. When Rashford cuts in from the wing, his first priority is to see if he can shoot, right? Is to shoot, is to go for it, is to go goalwards, right? Not to find someone that is free.
Okay, let me ask one question. If you do something wrong, you do it twice, you do it thrice, and all the three attempts, it didn't work out. Will you keep doing the same thing? Or rather just find the next solution? Rashford, you cannot be saying that because this kind of player I am. Once I cut him, I have to just look for the back of the net. Nah, you've done it once, you've done it twice, you've done it thrice, you'll not work out. Try and look for the next.
You've done it from the beginning of the season.
Stop keep doing the same perfect thing. You're just doing the same thing over and over again.
It is not as if he does not find the pass. He just goes for goals. He just goes for the goal more times
that's
than.
What I'm saying,
he,
but that's what I'm saying. It's not working. It's not been working.
All you're doing is not working, but you don't want to change it.
But you don't want to change it. That's
if this guy used to watch their own highlights, because if they used to watch their highlights, they'll have gotten other by now.
Exactly. What has the coach done about it? I mean, the coach does not know that this thing is. Coach not see what they happen.
I used to say this thing in group chat every time. I don't know if people should notice. I used to say the same thing that this is that the coach just used to look like, okay, if you cannot change, let me just, you just be doing what you are doing. Or you just, it doesn't stop those attacks. I don't even understand. Same thing, maybe match. Same thing.
I would say the same thing. Our affiliation with the devil is the problem of this club.
I agree with you.
The club is cursed because we've been saying, Sancho plays better with the striker. He does this, he does that.
Yes,
when we finally have a striker that we can create for, that is when the devil is going to cause a problem between him and ETH.
He felt like a scapegoat.
Let's actually face it. Today alone shows that there might be some truth in what Sancho is saying.
First of all, before you continue, this is the next agenda on the topic. I was going to ask two questions.
Okay.
All right. Now, I was going to also touch on... So, Sancho said he was not going to give an apology because he feels like he was being scapegoated. Do you think he was being scapegoated? Let me first answer.
He was, actually.
Thank you. I think he was being scapegoated. Now, here's the thing. I have not seen the post-match press conference, but I expect Ten Hag to call out the entire squad for playing rubbish today. And if Ten Hag cannot call out the entire squad for playing rubbish today, but he could call out Sancho for not meeting up to standard in training, I think that's unfair. I think he's actually scapegoating Sancho if he does not, and I don't think he will.
He has to call out the entire squad for playing rubbish today.
You have to give an answer now.
What did you do today? You not just come and say, okay, you not have Sancho in the team.
Exactly. You said they asked him, Abi. When they asked him about Sancho yesterday in the press conference, he just kept avoiding the question.
Yes.
We've seen ETH undo the press. He knows that the media wants to drive off what you have to say about. It's like probably the biggest club when it comes to media wanting to know all these things. So definitely you've been okay now. We all know Maguire has been stuck, but we still have ETH in the press conference saying he's a quality player.
Exactly. Why does he like lying?
I don't understand. You told us Scott McTominay was ill, that he couldn't make the squad. He went to the national team and he was banging in goals for the national team.
These are different situations. See, why Ed didn't respond yesterday was that this is a matter that is being handled internally, right?
Yes.
A matter of being handled internally in terms of discipline is not for media consumption.
But he could call out Sancho.
Yeah, so why he responded to that statement and to that question after the game against Arsenal was, after trying everything to make a player become all good, like live up to his potential, right? And the player is still floundering and still not doing that in training, not even in the match. In training, how else do you get the player to sit up? Like calling him out now.
You know what?
I don't have a problem with calling him out. But you can respond to him out. Because he's not the only one.
Yeah, so to respond to PA's statement, right? You know that he doesn't single a player out after a match. He either criticizes them as a team or praises them as a team, right? So now against us now. He said the team played well, but we didn't get the desired results. And to be honest, we did play well until we considered the second goal.
Yes, sir. We bought that game. It was just unfortunate.
So him saying him singling Sancho out for his training performance has nothing to do with what he responded concerning the team's performance. They are two different things.
So are you saying it is justified for him to call out Sancho?
Yes, because that was like the last the last thing he could have done.
So
wait.
If because my question is, Sancho said he's being scapegoated. Are you saying
he's not being scapegoated?
But Sancho is not the only one who has been poor.
Exactly. He trained,
but he's not calling out any other person.
It's a different thing now.
Basically, you are telling us that these players that have played this season, this is what they've been doing in training to come and put out in the match. No, let's be factual. We've seen training, we are talking about standards. I just want to say this, I'm going to be brief about it. He's talking about standards, he's talking about discipline. Fine, we've seen him stamp his ground on discipline and stuff. Agreed. You're talking about standards, but some certain players in the team will have like 5 run of games with the same seed performances stinking around the pitch, but you're still not going to drop these players. Why? Because they are doing well in training. I mean, okay, they train well, but what is the application during the match? There's no application. I'm not even fighting for Sancho anymore. I'm all about let the team win. But it's almost as if the club itself does not want to win.
Oh, that's a different scenario. You can't drop out of the team because they are not not applying themselves during matches. That's totally different. If you don't apply yourself in training, how do you apply yourself during the match?
Okay, so people that have applied themselves in training are the ones coming out to play these matches that we are seeing.
Yes,
we have a long way to go if that is the case. Yeah. If these are the applications in training that they are bringing out to the match, then I don't understand what they are even doing in the training session.
I don't believe that Sancho has been so bad that you would take
in training, like
you would take this is something Hannibal over him.
Dan Go. Like,
do you understand?
Evans. Like,
I don't think so. I honestly don't think so. I really believe that Sancho is being scapegoated. I'm not saying he was not poor in training. I'm saying you called him out in public for being poor in training, but he couldn't have been the only one that's been poor in training. And if the other people have been good in training and they are serving us this every week, then what are you actually doing?
Exactly. What are you actually doing? That's the question.
If Sancho is poor in training,
we know Sancho's potential.
Hello, are you there? I think he could have been tactical in his approach. So there might be personal beef. Let me say this here. Coaches can be tactical in their press release. Okay, why did Sancho not play to this game? Well, I picked the squad. I chose not to play Sancho. Period. Or no reason. I cannot. Some people say I cannot play more than 11 players. Or I cannot have more than 8 subs. It's just like that. I cannot have more than so number of people. So unfortunately, he didn't make it. But when you now say he did not meet up to his standard in training, I think that's unfair. That's just me. I think it's unfair. He could have. He didn't have to say that to the public. People will be dragging Sancho.
He has been covering up for Sancho all season, even past seasons, right? He has been covering up for Sancho. Now, him coming out to say this, you know that he has done everything within his power to get Sancho to start playing well. And everyone recognizing Sancho's potential knows that this is what he can play. This is how good he can get. But we all know that during the matches, he has not lived up to that. Not even he has not scratched that, right? So now him coming out to get a response out of a player, a normal player, someone that is professional and has his senses right, will know that, yes, I should sit up. He came out on social media trying to respond to his manager. Why is that done?
Then let's see.
So Pep calls out his player, right? You don't see his players responding on social media.
Okay.
He's not the first day you call out like that. As in, they call you out.
We are all like supporting ETH that okay. He called him out. Sancho came out, released a statement that he has conducted himself well in training. One, he said there are other reasons that he won't mention to why he was not selected or why he has been scapegoated. He said he just wants to play for the badge. He just wants to play with a smile on his face. Why are we choosing to ignore that part? Why is it that everybody wants... I'm putting it to you guys that if Sancho, please, sorry, if Sancho was putting in a good shift, and it, like, okay, maybe this season, then they had this stuff that happened. If Sancho put in a good shift last season, and Sancho came out and said, yeah, he conducted himself well in training and stuff like that, many people will come outside to say, Sancho is lying. Trust the manager. We've seen the manager that we are trusting today now. I don't know how Rashford played 90 minutes in today's game. Everybody saw it. Even the fans, like, I've never seen the fans boo a substitution from the coach. Like, everybody knew this was not the substitution you were supposed to make. Take out Rashford. You took out Oyun. Why? Because you wanted to keep Rashford on the pitch. You now brought in Martial. Martial, God help us.
All right. God help anybody us. Has any final comment on the Sancho saga?
For me, right, I think it was I'll say it was a very good decision from Ed, right? If Sancho had any issue, like, had a different opinion, he could have taken up with the manager and with the club and big up his opinions. He should have made it known to say the director of football that there are double standards in training, and they would do that internally, right? Instead of coming out on social media to respond to his manager, that is where he is wrong. Even though he is right, he is wrong. He has made himself wrong by coming out on social media. You understand?
Me, so, I won't lie. I'll be very happy if Sancho leaves Manchester United.
Why?
So that I'll be happier. Let him go now. This guy is young. He's still like 23 or thereabouts. We had time in football that exactly. Well, Sancho was here. He was in a list with Messi and Ronaldo, with people that have done 15 plus goals and assists in a top flight league season. Like, there were not many players that were doing that. Then we had UEFA comparing, saying Mbappe or Sancho, stuff like that. Like, it was on that high level. Well, he came to United and we saw the same thing Pierre said about Anthony. Anthony wasn't this bad at Ajax. At least he was still doing the basic things. But now Anthony is finding it difficult to compete with Zibu.
Is it that player just come to United and think they can do whatever they like and they can get with it because they don't have that discipline there?
They say it's the devil. It's the devil.
So you're a devil, are ya? That is the problem of the club. The affiliation with the devil is the problem of this club.
All right. We are going to bring this episode to an end. Ten Hag, I remember when he came, he said, when they asked him about the dominance of Manchester City and Liverpool, he said, eras come to an end. It appears.
Yeah, but he didn't say when.
He didn't say
so
when.
Let's believe.
Era at Manchester United.
It's like his own era is coming to an end.
Before the era. Exactly. It might come to an end before Manchester City's era comes to an end.
Well, to be fair, he didn't say it would bring their eras to an end.
He says eras come to an end.
Caleb.
Don't spin it like this. They asked him
exactly
about Man City's dominance.
No baby
he
oil.
He said eras come to an end. He may not have said when, but the implied intention is he's here to make sure that their errors come to an end.
Exactly.
That's what he means.
Or he's here to build the foundation that will lead to their error coming to an end.
Is this the foundation?
He's building the foundation. He's bringing the past.
With what now? What did they use build the foundation?
There's no foundation.
There's no foundation. Finally, Manchester United has done more press release than they have wins this season. How far now? What did they happen?
Wonderful.
We are making a statement.
Okay, sorry. I didn't plan to talk about this, but it has come up. Anthony's situation. I remember, if I'm not mistaken, the club has not handled Anthony the same way they handled Greenwood.
Different person, different palaver. Different. The game was more about rape allegations. I mean, it's more about assault. I don't think this that same level.
You don't think so? Okay. Because Greenwood's own was also assault, and
exactly,
and intended rape or whatever.
Anthony is single. So they had to split single and single and double as double.
Ha.
I mean, Greenwood was not all about assault and rape. Anthony is about, it's just about assault. So I don't think they will treat the same way.
But even though what happened? Like, see, now they've released statements. It took them a while before they released a statement for Greenwood. It took a while before they dropped him. You know, they tried to cover the situation until it became a full-blown scandal. Then they now dropped him. Then they released press statements, one thing. We are supporting the player. We are investigating internally. I don't know. They've not put the same energy for Anthony. Meanwhile, I think like they're in the same situation. But anyways, they will deal with that. We spent over an hour having this conversation, and I want to say a big thank you to every one of you for showing up and showing out, talking about player performances, talking about tactics, talking about the hullabaloo and the drama that is going on in the club, talking about Rashford, you know, talking about Ten Hag and errors that are coming to an end, talking about everything we did. I think I've had such an amazing time. So I want to say a huge thank you to you guys, Dada, Demola, and Caleb. But it has been an amazing time, and thank you to everybody who has tuned in to listen to this episode. I will see you guys in the next episode. Have a wonderful week ahead.
Hope say una enjoy the match, sha.
We don't dribble,
we don't shoot our shots,
we don't tear it,
and we don't put 3 points for pockets. Till next Sunday on Red to the Bones,
tell your friends, may they come see waiting you save don't see.